This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The international organization World Vision is helping more than 100 million people through its various development, humanitarian, and emergency relief programs. They are dedicated to working with children and families to overcome extreme poverty and injustice through their various programs, and continue to do so despite this pandemic that we all find ourselves in. So today I'm going to catch up with World Vision Malaysia CEO Daniel Bui about how the organization are weathering this pandemic and how they are working on innovative programs, including the Chosen program, where a child chooses their sponsor instead of the other way around. So we're going to find out more about that. Welcome, Daniel. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Julia. Thank you for having us. Good day to everybody listening.
An absolute pleasure to have you back on the show, Daniel. So you're no stranger to BFM. We've spoken to you before. But, you know, I think always good as a reminder for our listeners, you know, to tell us a bit about World Vision, you know, 70 years old already, founded back in 1950. I think World Vision Malaysia has been around since the 90s, late 1990s. Remind us about the organization and its history.
Well, World Vision was founded by a man by the name of Bob Pierce. Now, Bob Pierce, he was a man full of passion and his heart for children, vulnerable children. So between the 1940s to 1950, he was all over China and also in Korea. And he worked with poor children mainly. Now, those were very terrible years, so to speak, because it was a time of Japanese war with Japan, and then the civil wars and whatnot. And then after the founding of the People's Republic of China in 1949, he was in Korea. And again, there was this devastating Korean War where, you know, the capital of South Korea, now Seoul, it changed hands four times. And so he was found in a situation where suddenly there were a few hundred thousand orphans. Okay. Now, this broke his heart. Now, these orphans, no family. Yeah. No food, no shelter, no hope. And so Bob Pierce, he was not just a passionate man. He was a very good storyteller and filmmaker. So he took videos of this, and he took this back to America, and he got people to give funds and whatnot. So he started orphanages and whatnot those early years, you know. Mm-hmm. We have moved away from orphanages now because we've evolved over the 70 years into basically three things that we do. Number one, community transformation, where we don't just give money, for example, you know. We want to transform the community. We have initiatives to look into their livelihoods, the education, sanitation, and so on. So, because we want them so that they are equipped to bring themselves out of poverty. Second thing we do is emergency relief and advocacy. And so, now, 1997, Malaysia started World Vision Malaysia. I've always said, from my own observations, you know, all these years, and I'm no spring chicken, you see, Malaysians have a big heart. They're very generous. Mm-hmm. And you can observe from the recent pandemic, you know, it cuts across racial lines, religious lines, you know. Everybody, and even though they are in challenging circumstances, Malaysians still give not just their time, you know, but they give themselves, you know. And then they risked themselves. So 1997, at that time, Malaysia was also doing quite well as a tiger economy. And so we started World Vision in Malaysia in 1997. But as far as the vision and mission is the same as World Vision all over the world. And this is from the legacy of our founder, Bob Pierce.
Okay. And so, how would you say the philosophy of World Vision Malaysia differs from, you know, the rest of the organization? Does it differ at all or pretty much the same?
World Vision, we work with the poor and oppressed, you know, and we promote human transformation. We use integrated, holistic initiatives and projects, you know. Like I said just now, we don't give money, give food, and that's the end of the story, you know. We do, like community transformation is a long-term thing, you know, 10 to 15 years, for example. Yep. We work long-term. And before we even start one project like that, we stay with them for 1 to 2 years. So we learn about their challenges and their needs. And we do initiatives that they themselves want to do, you know, so that they can bring themselves out of poverty. So now, what attracted... No, I heard about World Vision when I was a student, you know, and what impressed me was that World Vision work with anybody of any creed of color, irrespective of religion, or whether the person has no religion, for example. So all across racial barriers, not expecting anything in return. No? And so that's our philosophy.
Okay. And you know, I'm curious to know, you said you were a student when you first heard about World Vision. You know, what sort of drew you to World Vision Malaysia? How did you get involved with the work? You know, why is this something that you're interested to do?
Well, I have to bring you back and forth. Okay, like as a student, you know, you can guess my age. In the 70s, the first boatloads of refugees came from Vietnam. Altogether, we had, if I'm not wrong, about 250,000 refugees from Vietnam, the boat people, you know, mm-hmm. and they have refugee camps in a few places in Malaysia. During that time, World Vision, I believe it was the first NGO in the world to secure a boat to rescue those people who, otherwise they would drown and they would die, you know. And World Vision came with these boats off the Malaysian coast in South China Sea to rescue many, you know, bringing them to safety. And afterwards, they were also responsible, not to say responsible, but they were also involved in providing food and shelter to these refugees. And I read about all this, you know. And as I said, as a student, I was very much impressed, you know, because we are faith-based, of course. And we do this because we do what we do because of the love of God, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm very impressed because World Vision shared this love and to bring about fullness of life in children, expecting nothing in return. And they would go and do their work amongst anybody of any color and creed and religion. Now, later, when I graduated, I worked in a commercial line, you know, in the corporate line. And I spent about 20 years as a chief executive, you know. Mm-hmm. For example, I was working in Khazanah in Malaysia. I was the CEO of one of the subsidiaries. And then later, I went to Thailand to work as a managing director of a Dutch company. And I came back here. I worked for, you know, in the food industry. I was head of this division in a public listed company. So this World Vision keep on coming to me, you know. And I was telling myself all these years, you know, that how nice it would be if I really spend time in an organization like this.
Yeah.
They give without expecting anything. Give because there's a need, you know. And so I met people who say, hey, look, there's this opportunity. Would you like to come in? And after a few months of thinking through and meeting people, I was very inspired by those people who talked to me, you know, inspired by their lives and how they give up themselves to touch the vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That's how I came to World Vision Malaysia.
So it was there, lah, from a young age, you know, you did your thing, but it was always there at the back of your head, always calling to you somehow. And there you are, you answered that call as well.
Well, it's in the very back recesses of my mind, you know, which I need to unearth it. Youth have a lot of passions of their own. But it was there, you know. I know it's there, but I didn't unearth it too much, but it's there. And I was thinking, you know, as I grow older, how it's very surreal, you know, and now I'm going to think of it, you know. So very thankful.
But here you are. And, you know, I'm sure you find it extremely rewarding, this work. I'm sure, right? I mean, what is it that is so rewarding for you?
You know, I mean, I work in a corporate scene, and as I told you, I spent 20 of those years as taking care of companies. And I tell you, the satisfaction, I always tell people this, you know. Now, this is worth a deep thing, you know. I want to say this to everybody listening in too. Life is only meaningful if you are living for another. It can be children, your own children, or it can be other people's children. It can be, you know, life is only meaningful if you live for another. Otherwise, it's too insular and then life has absolutely no meaning. Think about it, you know. And then the satisfaction in working in an organization like this is something that money cannot buy. Now, one source of encouragement I find is looking at my colleagues, you know. My colleagues work with me. Many of them are very highly qualified and, you know, have a depth of experience, you know. But they chose to take this route, you know, because in my opinion, this is a better route, you know, living a life that is helping those vulnerable. Now, there are so many testimonies of people whose life have been helped. You know, in the history, the 70-year history of World Vision, by God's grace, we have been able to touch the lives positively of about 200 million children in the history of 70 years. 200 million children, that's bigger than the population of most countries in the world. And so as I look at my colleagues, not just Malaysia, elsewhere, they give of themselves in commitment, pandemic or no pandemic. This is my source of encouragement and inspiration. It's self-propelling, you know. This self-propelling individually, also within organization. Great sense of purpose. Again, you know, as I'm sure you know that, without purpose, man really has no reason to live, you know, yeah. Without purpose. And with this singularity of purpose, seeing everybody, including our volunteers and our partners, work together. And I think that at a time of pandemic, when times are hard, when things are challenging for us too, and it's more so, do we need to help those who may have challenges helping themselves. And so I find this totally rewarding.
That's wonderful to hear. And, you know, as you said, it's really challenging times. And I'm just curious, you know, even for somebody like you who's been, you know, doing all this really hard work for a long time, have you faced that sort of, any sort of burnout or any sort of disillusionment with the work that you're doing at all?
Well, I think I'm not just speaking for World Vision. I think in anybody who is doing humanitarian work, burnout and disillusionment is always there. You know, the possibility is always there. Some handle it very well. And some of those people, I look at them, they don't seem to have any burnouts or disillusionment. But I think it's very real, especially in the time of pandemic. Because like you see, with World Vision, we help regardless. There's a need, we want to help. And we don't want to expect anything in return. But of course, if you go along, there are challenges from various angles. And these are possibilities of burnout and disillusionment. But the way I look at it, I want to give you another analogy. For example, let's talk about mother. You know, I think you are one. Yes. So mother, you know, mothers, they sacrifice, you know. Why? You know, I mean, they at the end, some of them are working mothers. And, you know.
Speaking to like, one right now.
Yeah, they like feel like squeezing the life out of the children. But they do it because of love, you know. I would hasten to add fathers too. We would give our lives for our children without a second thought. Yeah. You know, we're in a situation. Why? Because love. And if you compare it with a hired help, just doing it for the salary, but in charge of children. Of course, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I want to say that there are many people working in schools and institutions like kindergartens, you know, they have a great love for the children too. And this is the difference. And I would say that many people in the humanitarian work, they really love their work. But more important, so they really love the people they work with, either colleagues or those beneficiaries. And this is the secret of handling possible burnouts and disillusionment.
I'm speaking today to Daniel Boy. He's the CEO of World Vision Malaysia. And we're talking about the work that World Vision does. World Vision is, of course, an international humanitarian organization. And we're going to go for a quick break now. But when we come back, we're going to find out how they've been weathering this pandemic and some of the new and innovative programs that they have started. And that's coming up after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me today is Daniel Boy. He's the CEO of World Vision Malaysia. World Vision is, of course, an international organization working on various development, humanitarian and emergency relief programs. You know, before the break, Daniel was telling us about his, you know, how he got into this line of work and what World Vision is all about. Now, Daniel, as CEO of World Vision Malaysia, right, what is your role, I suppose, as, you know, in advancing all of the initiatives that are under World Vision Malaysia?
Well, before I go to that, maybe I just want to mention a little bit of some of our flagship projects, you know. Sure. Well, child sponsorships is our core funding model, child sponsorship. Now, this the germination of this concept of child sponsorship happened in the late 40s, you know, when our founder, Bob Pierce, was in China. In this place called Amoy, which is the current day Xiamen, it was on this island where there was, you know, in the midst of another devastating civil war, and this headmistress of this school, I was carrying a baby, beaten, you know, badly beaten and impoverished and hungry. And she passed this, and her name was White Jade. And he passed this girl to Bob. And this same minister said, Bob, hey, we can't take care of her because we don't have money. We don't have food. And Bob took a look at this White Jade. I think anybody's heart would break.
Yeah.
So he handed White Jade back to the headmistress and said, look, this is $5. Take care of her. I'll come back for more. Now, this germinated the concept of child sponsorship. So now, after 70 years of, you know, this concept evolving, you know, so like in Malaysia, you can sponsor a child every month for only 65 ringgit, you know. And I would encourage all of you to, after the program, just click to our website, www.worldvision.com.my and sign up as a sponsor within, say, 10 minutes. Now, so our initiatives are all centered on child sponsorships. Now, other than child sponsorship, we also have other, you can also donate one time or it can be recurring to maybe some of our sectoral funds, you know, like education or livelihood or advocacy and whatnot. Recently, we've been doing something that is quite interesting. It's called Chosen. I think Juliet mentioned just now, Chosen. Now, in the core child sponsorship model, you can go online, you can be signed up by somebody, you know, where you can choose the country and a child, and you can set up one. We got people sponsoring one child, some sponsoring 100 over, 200 over, and so on. You can choose, you know. Now, we have one concept which we started just recently. It's called Chosen. Chosen.
Yep.
Now, this is very powerful because in the core model, the you sign up and then you choose, you know. Now, in this case, the child chooses you. Now, if you want to be a sponsor, you sign up, you know, you go online, you sign up. And then we have a special event in a certain place. Now, in our case, it's Cambodia, you know, at this place called Roving 2 where we have a day where, of course, we take all the safety precautions because the pandemic, they come. The child will look at your picture and he thinks that maybe you are the one, he will choose you. Now, this is very important because it gives empowerment to the child. Mm. And you never tell, you know, for some of these children, it may be the first time they're given the opportunity to choose something for themselves. And this will stay in them. We pray that it will stay in them so that in the years to come, they may think, you know, they'll... This will be an inspiration for them to stand up and to choose and to strengthen their sense of dignity. And so Chosen is one. But it's so success. Now, you know, we just launched it recently, you know, and then after 4 days, we have to close the registration because we had overwhelming response. So Child Sponsorship Chosen. Then we also do what we call the 30-hour famine. You know, 30-hour famine. Before the pandemic, we used to have between 25 to 30,000 young people. Can you imagine?
Amazing.
25 to 30,000 young people who are, we think, always on a handphone. But they chose to fast 30 hours for some unknown child somewhere in some other country who is hungry. You know,
yeah.
Very powerful. I think 25, 30,000 would make it one of the bigger events in this country. And it has evolved into like a movement, you know. And then we also do... We want to end violence against children, EVAC, E-V-A-C, any violence. We also do EVAC grants. We also have programs in Sabah, also in Peninsula, where we also reach out and whatnot. Now, so these are some of our flagship projects. Now, what is my role, your question now, what is my role in advancing all these WVM's initiatives? As I said, I'm no spring chicken.
Got my role, spirit of one.
Sorry?
You've got the spirit of one.
Yeah, right. I must tell it to my wife. Okay. Now, my role, of course, is to, as any CEO would do, they would give directions. And it's not just giving direction. Need to inspire their staff to use their skills and creativity to advance WVM's initiatives, you know, and objectives. I want to look at my role as not doing, you know. And I want to look at my role as giving direction and inspiring. And I'm very happy to say, shall I say this? I think I have a dream team, you know. I have a fantastic team. I will call them my dream team. And this dream team will carry out the initiatives of World Vision Malaysia. And my job is to give direction and to inspire and to prepare succession, you know, so that in the years to come, World Vision Malaysia is self-propelling, you know. I will prepare a succession. I don't like to use plan or program, but a process where they themselves will also prepare their own successors. And so it's self-propelling for the years because the poor are always there.
Yeah.
And the times of the worst challenges, even more so, should we help. And therefore, the need is always there. And that's how I see my role.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, we find ourselves in one of the most challenging times, you know, that and most of us even know of. How has the pandemic posed challenges to the work that World Vision Malaysia is carrying out?
Well, the challenges we face, I think the same challenges that I think you face and also other people face and also other humanitarian organizations. And one fact of the matter is that our programs, you know, 30-hour famine, we actually meet, you know, now 30,000 people. We actually meet, and we don't only meet at the events. Before that, we have training camps, and we are very much inspired by all these young people, you know, because I look at them and say, oh, I used to look like them with all our ideals and whatnot, you know. Now, we have to meet face-to-face to do all those kinds of things, you know. So we have go back to a blank slate to relook at our and the progress we have, you know. I mean, 30-hour famine is one of them. And then the other one is our event run, you know. And then we have roadshows, we have camps, we have workshops. We also meet up with students. We also give training and whatnot. And we also organize sponsor visits. For example, sponsors, you know, let's say you sponsor somebody in Myanmar, we give you the opportunity to visit your sponsored child, you know. So we visit, we have what we call sponsor visits and whatnot. And in Sabah is the most vulnerable state in terms of poverty index, you know. And then we work in two places where it's most vulnerable in Sabah. You have to go there and meet people, you know. So all these things, there will be challenges, you know. We can't do that anymore. And so just now I said that my colleagues, they are very, they're full of, I'm already thankful, very thankful to God. They're very passionate, very committed. And so when we say, hey, look, we have to do something different. All of them, very united, they say, okay, let's do it. And we have to work from home. And we have to, we have to go work from home. And then, of course, in those early days, people say, hey, how to connect, you know? Connectivity, how to do it. So we're at our wits end how to do it. But we did it, okay? We did it. And then we have to totally change many of our programs. And our marketing is the same as any other organization on earth. We pivot towards digital marketing, you know. So we need to upskill our digital dexterity, you know. And then how do we go around the giving of aid to those who need whether PPEs or food and whatnot? So we have to relook this. And now, having done all this, I said that the succession is self-propelling. I think this encouragement is also self-propelling, you know, because you see people, not just our colleagues and our volunteers, and the fellow NGOs, we work together, we network together, and we see the beneficiaries, all this, this unity and this sense of camaraderie is something money cannot buy.
Yeah. And I guess that's also what keeps you guys going, isn't it? Despite all the crazy challenges. And there's so much of need, especially now. And I guess, you know, that's how you've been sort of adjusting your programs as well to respond to the global COVID-19 situation. I mean, anything else you'd like to add about how you've been sort of adjusting to these times that we currently find ourselves in?
Well, we will have to, for example, there were families and children and individuals in various places that need PPEs and food. So we use all sorts of ways of doing it, you know. I think the ways you know, is in the papers. So far, we've reached out within Malaysia to about 35,000 individuals. And this is not just giving food, you know. It's also educating people how to keep themselves safe. For example, World Vision Worldwide, in this area of educating people to keep themselves safe, we have reached out to as per maybe last month, we have reached out to 31.4 million people, okay. Teaching them, you know, importance wearing masks, social distancing, and whatnot. So these are the things that we do, which we trust that will be beneficial to people all over the world, including Malaysia.
And, you know, Daniel, you said, you know, you mentioned 200 million children have been, you know, impacted by the work that you do. So many success stories there, right? But is there any that you would like to share? Anyone that, any story that particularly stood out for you that you'd like to share with our listeners? It's almost like choosing a favorite child, right? I know. It's a hard one.
I only have two. And both of them, including my wife, they're all three are my favorites. Yeah. I hope it's not just a politically correct statement. Okay, I said it in jest. Okay, I think success stories, first of all, there are many individual success stories, too many to name. Many of them are sponsored children, you know. We just met up with one, I won't name him, from Korea. We met up with him by accident. We met with him in Johor. And then we found out that he's a sponsored child. Wow. He went through a lot, you know. But today he's a professor, you know. And there are many more like him, many, many more. So if you talk about individuals, there are too many to name. If you talk about success stories, I can name a few. I always want to go back to 30-hour famine because the future of the nation are the youth, you know. And sometimes if you look at a situation where the helpers are the youth, it's really something, you know. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to youth, I don't mean people in the 20s, you know. And those people in the 30-hour famine are basically teens, you know, teenagers. And they have their own leaders and they appoint their own leaders and they do their own collection. They're all, the bulk of them are maybe in the late teens, or maybe mid-teens. So I think one of the success stories would be 30-hour famine. Like I said, one time we had 29,000 people meeting together and raising funds, you know.
Yeah.
And this has evolved into a movement, you know. Movement. We want to pivot on that and see how we can help more vulnerable people in both Malaysia and also overseas. So I would like to encourage you, you know, after this, go to www, it's very easy to remember, .worldvision.com.my and sign up as a 30-hour family. Even if you're not a teenager, you know, even if you are half a spring chicken, go ahead and sign it up because this is virtual, you know. It's happening on August the 8th, but you can still sign up. And then the event run, you know, now this is its third year running, you know, and the participation this year, it's more than the first time when we had physical running, you know.
Wow.
This is very unimaginable to me. I really didn't expect this. I would look at this story. I would really want to take my hats off to my colleagues. My colleagues were all in this and they spent a lot of time working on this. And also our partners, you know. You see, World Vision or for that matter, any humanitarian organization, we cannot function without our partners, you know, our without volunteers, and there are thousands of them. I think you look at sponsors, volunteers in Malaysia, World Vision alone, there are in excess of 40,000 of them. Can you imagine a nation of 32 million coming together to help people in need? So I would say the event grant is another social success story. And then the other thing is this, you see, what we do is we commit to the people we want to commit to. For example, we don't say, okay, we have this much of money, we give it to you. We commit to them in advance, you know. And I'm very thankful that in this 1.5 years, we manage our own expenses. We cut out a lot of things. We manage to fulfill 100% of our commitments, you know. Not a dollar less, not a cent less. The funds that we receive from our 40,000 supporters, we are able to meet 100% of them.
Sure.
And also, like I mentioned about this sponsors visit, you know, visiting here and there. Recently, we had one to the Philippines. Don't go berserk yet, but it's a virtual visit. But can you do a very interesting virtual visit? Yes, we can, you know. And since we've done the first one, I'm sure we can improve for the second, third, fourth. So I'm very excited, you know, because I also want to go. I also want to go because I want to go from the comfort of my own home to visit places and to visit and to meet up with people that we have a hand in helping, you know. So these are the so-called success stories, if I may.
Yeah, so many and really wonderful to hear. And I mean, what would you say is the most helpful support that the public can give to World Vision right now?
Well, I enjoy repeating this. You know, I really enjoy repeating this. And I'm saying this with a passion. And I tell you, I want to introduce you to a life that is fully more meaningful, you know. I want to repeat this also, that life is only meaningful if you live for another. Think about it, you know, think about it. Life is only meaningful if you live for another. And therefore, after this session, all the listeners, I would encourage you very much to go to www.worldvision.com.my. Worldvision.com.my and sign up as a child sponsor. You know, it's 65 ringgit a month for a child somewhere in the world. It can be found on the website. You can write to your child. And the report will be given to you. And so the progress of the child, because we look at not just education, we look at a livelihood. And every child you sponsor, you also affect four other children. For example, a child sponsorship worldwide, now we sponsor 3.4 million children. But from this 3.4 million, it doesn't just affect them, you know, it affects the entire community. 47 million people, the families all get impacted. For example, in a village where there's no water, you know that Africa spends more than 100 million hours a day taking water, walking 3 to 4 hours just to get water. It may not be clean, no? And so they have disease, they cannot be clean. Now, I tell you, we have seen videos of when clean water comes to a village, you know, wonderful, you know, the diseases drop, then people can go to school. Because you cannot go to school when you walk 3-4 hours to get water. And so sign up as a child sponsor. Child is sponsored immediately after this this talk. And then chosen, you know, as I've said, our closing date, we brought it forward, you know, supposed to be 26th, we closed on the 12th. But you can sign up, you know, go to our site, go to chosen and sign up. When it's the next event, we call you up. And then I tell you, because when you choose the child, when the child chooses you.
That's right, yeah.
And at the time of revelation, you will receive a picture of the child, and the child will give the reasons why he chose you. Or maybe you're handsome, or really you remind me of my grandfather, or whatever it is. So you can sign up to Chosen. And then 30-hour famine, as I said just now, you can also sign up. And we have so many programs. For example, we have Gifts of Hope, I mentioned just now. You can actually donate one time to some community to buy a goat, you know, a goat. Yeah. Or chicken, you know, for them, for their livelihood, or school books, or table, so that the child can sit on a chair or table to study and whatnot. So go to our website immediately, and I'll challenge you. And I would say that when your life may not be the same anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Daniel, for speaking with me today. And again, as Daniel mentioned, you know, there's so many different ways that you can help. All you need to do is head to worldvision.com.my, look for the different options there, see what suits you best, and take action right now. Thank you so much again, Daniel, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Daniel Bui, who is the CEO of World Vision Malaysia. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, just search for the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can search for it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.